We'd like to read this evening together from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." And he departed thence, and entered into a certain man's house, named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio, the deputy of Achaia, was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of these things. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus, and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue, and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired to him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, "I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return unto you, again unto you, if God will." And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went all over the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Read the entire chapter. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may we all bow in prayer to the Lord. In this chapter, there's something quite remarkable. And those are the words that we have in red. That Jesus has spoken to his faithful servant words of comfort, words of encouragement, words of strength, and at a very necessary time. Apostle Paul had been traveling. He was in Corinth at the time. And the Jews, his brethren, according to the flesh, had rejected him. Before this, he was in Athens, which we read not long ago, and noted that he didn't make much of a gain in Athens either. Before this, he was in Berea, where those that were from Thessalonica came and chased after him, stirred up the people, and the brethren had to send him quickly on. It seems like there's a series of discouragements. And I wonder if any of us can relate. Perhaps having been discouraged or disappointed, and maybe have gotten up, but then to see the same thing happen again. Perhaps in our own life, perhaps in the lives of the ones that we love. That's perhaps where Apostle Paul was. But Jesus knew his need and came and gave him his word. And that is the precious light that shines in the darkness. The words of Jesus Christ, they're the words that teach us to press on and not to give up. Not to give an inch to the enemy of our soul. Not to back down in the testimony of faith and the practicing of it, but to stand firm, to be ready to receive of his grace that gives us the strength to move on. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. When you're rejected, that might be the last thing that you would like to do. But Jesus sends Paul right back into the mission field, into the vineyard, to speak with boldness. I was reading in Ephesians chapter 6 recently, and he asked the church in Ephesus to pray for him, that he would be able to speak boldly as he ought to speak. The Christian life ought to be one that is pursued and followed with a confidence, because we are following the one who has overcome. The words of Jesus Christ, he said to his disciples, I have overcome the world. Follow me. Stay close to me. Those were dark times, right before the crucifixion. Times when the disciples perhaps were afraid of what was going to happen in Jerusalem. They no doubt feared when the soldiers came in the garden. But the truth of Christ is closest when we are near the cross. It rings true. It rings meaningful. It becomes so much more relevant to the one that's enjoying life and finds ease and pleasure and fun. It doesn't seem to matter. But those words of comfort mean everything to the one who suffers and struggles, the one who is discouraged, the one who does face disappointments, the one who is challenged and is striving to serve his Lord well. He's so near because he experienced that and so much more. And he can speak words of confidence to you and me, that he understands, that he holds our hand, and he has gone before us. It is not unfamiliar, the challenge and the weights that this human life often experiences. I am with thee. Jesus told that to his disciples before he ascended. I am with thee even unto the end of the world. He gives Paul an encouragement. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. There is good and there is promise in the work of the Lord. There is good and there is promise in the work of the Lord. Paul was not motivated or driven by his own plans and his own desires to make a name for himself. He was doing the work of the Lord. He was calling and he was preaching. And Jesus says, I have much people in this city. In what way are we all not God's people? We're his creation. Every breath that we breathe is because of his kindness and mercy. He's made us. He knows our thoughts and each hair upon our head. But there are those who will hear the word of God. They will yield their lives to him. And they will become part of the family. And Jesus will say, all those that do my Father's will, they are my brother and sister and mother. The gospel is being preached. Hearts are listening. They are responding, and that is how the church is grown. The numbers don't matter that much. The programs don't matter that much. The word of God must be preached. And so Apostle Paul listened to Jesus Christ. Once he heard these words of comfort, once he heard these words of direction and command, he set out to do exactly as he had heard. When we hear the word of Jesus Christ speaking to us in our time of need, speaking to us when we are in need of correction too. Let us also follow right away and follow all the way and follow in a joyful way. Apostle Paul ended up writing to the Corinthians. And he talked about what the content of his preaching was. He said that he would not want to know anything among them but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them, faithfully staying with the object of their faith, faithfully staying with the one who deserved their attention and obedience, even as we had prayed, not changing the word to be more suitable to the audience. Nonetheless, staying and making the word of God known among them. Apostle Paul, in his time of need, may have shared this with Luke, who is writing Acts, and remembered this time in this night when the Lord spoke to him. When his direction was so clear and poignant and touched the nerve, touched the very heart and the life where he was. And this message of not giving up, of pressing on, this is a message that is throughout the scripture for all those who are faithful. And so it is also a word for you and me. As I think of these words of Christ, I'm reminded of what the Lord spoke to Joshua when he began his service in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. This is the Lord speaking. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Very interesting parallel between what Jesus told Paul. That no one would stand before him and that the Lord would be with him. He says, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The Lord repeats the words to be strong and courageous to Joshua, to reinforce. He gives him a great promise: I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. How we often need to reinforce those messages. We sing the song, forsake me not. O God, hear thou my crying. Thou art the help on which I am relying. We often forget. We often grow weary. We're often discouraged. But the Lord is faithful. But he gives him a command. He says, stick with the word. Put at the center of your attention the word of God. And at that time for Joshua, it was the law that explained where he came from, the promises that the Lord had given and what the Lord had done for his people. And even the words of Moses that testified of the servant that would come, Jesus Christ. Observe all the word, and not just know it, but meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. To understand the word, and then also to apply it. Not just words, not just a testimony, but an example. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Then there's blessing. Then there's help. And it's interesting to note here that he says, wherever you go. In whatever station of life we are in. Faithfulness to the word of God. Honesty with the scriptures. Honesty with our lives. That we live according to what we preach. The things that we read. The words of Jesus that come to comfort us and direct us. That we put our hands to the plow. And we follow. And we don't go back. These are the words that started Joshua on the journey of his leadership portion. He had been serving the Lord for many years before. And I had at one time thought that Joshua was a great general, a great military leader. But I've since learned that there's something different about him. Something different about his story. The success, the prosperity of Joshua and the people was not because he was so cunning, or he was so able, or he was such an excellent leader. The blessing came to the people of God when he and they both took to heart and with sincerity turned to the Lord and followed his way. Whenever that happened, they prospered. They made progress. They advanced in their mission that God had given to them. But when there was sin, then they failed and they faltered. That's so important for us to take notice of. What direction do we need to go? What mission does the Lord have for us? Are we equipped? Are we the smartest? Are we the best and flashiest? No. But the Lord's mission, it will be accomplished by those who faithfully keep the Word of God. It will happen. It will come to pass. We need to choose, like Apostle Paul did, to stand by faith and to be a part of that, to find God's blessing, and to please the Lord. That's the most important thing. You will never be able to please man. If you're following the truth, it's a vain and futile pursuit for lasting joy and peace to seek to please man, but to please our Father in heaven. That's a compass that as we look at the Word of God to clarify what that means and to define that, that is a great compass pointing us in the direction when we need to make decisions. What should we do? You could use other compasses like, well, it's allowed. Or at least if nobody finds out, I won't get in trouble for it. Or I see other people doing this or that. Those are other compasses that we can use to decide which way should we go. And especially for the young, you have many doors of opportunity open to you. You need a reliable compass to show you the way. Look to Jesus. The voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." You will find what's pleasing to God in Jesus Christ. Listen to his voice. Listen to him when he calls you to serve and to put away the life of sin and to take on the harness and put your hand to the plow and be yoked with him, pull together for his glory. Jesus told his disciples when he was sending them out, to overcome. And to endure to the end. And perhaps these words of Jesus were coming to Apostle Paul's memory as well. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus tells his disciples, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. But be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. To endure, to abide, is essential for salvation. And it's the words of Jesus that encourages his disciples to that end. He also spoke in Luke chapter 18, the parable of the unjust judge. And Luke explains that the reason why he gave this parable was that so men ought always to pray and not to faint. And the widow that was asking this unjust judge to avenge her came over and over and over. Persistence, consistency, and this unjust judge relented. How much more so will God, who loves us and does care about mankind, also hear his servants who come to him? Though he may bear long with us, and we need to be patient, his way is best. He will hear. And if we endure, Jesus gives the promise, we will be saved. And all the way to the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, Jesus has a message for the churches. And each church was a little bit different. They had their own challenges, just like we as individuals have our own challenges and experiences and whatnot. But one thing that he says to each and every church is to overcome. He says to the Ephesian church, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To the church in Smyrna, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And on through all seven churches. Most of the churches he told to repent, but all of the churches received a message that they needed to overcome. They needed to hold on to the promises of God. And as the day of the Lord comes closer and closer, the challenges of overcoming and consistency and persevering, they will continue to grow. We often think in many ways the culture of our day wears down our ability to hold our attention for very long. And we quickly want to go to the next new thing. How much of that wearing down can one take? It's a danger. It's a vulnerability that Satan uses very shrewdly to deceive. We often also talk, as another example, of modern-day challenge to persistence and to not giving up, is that the modern-day challenge for us, the command to keep, is that of being aware of covetousness and materialism. There are some challenges that come for a moment, or maybe for a few years. But it seems that the challenge and the temptation and the struggle against materialism and covetousness will be one that is constant. It is persistent, and it will wear on us. And so, we must develop the strength of hearing the voice of Jesus. Do not be afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. The Lord has a word of encouragement for each of his children to continue on and to press on in faith. Hear it. Cherish it. Hide it in your heart. And then go forth sharing his word, living it out in faithfulness, and he is the one that will provide that great blessing of eternal life. May God bless his word. Amen.